Israel in the end times, as we continue part five. So let me just say this to you. I know today's been a little hard, but man, y'all endured through it. We had great worship. But today, I'm going to be like, have any of you ever tried to drink out of a fire hydrant before? It didn't work, okay? And when I was in Chicago on a mission team one time, they opened the fire hydrants for the kids of Chicago because they don't have swimming pools and all that warm enough. And so literally opened them up, and it was so cool. And we were having a big mission event with teenagers, and we went over and tried to play in it. And a fire hydrant will knock you down if it comes out of there, much less trying to drink out of one. So the adage is, it's like drinking out of a fire hydrant. I'm going to be going through so much with you today. Get your pens ready. If they run out of ink, just reach to the person next to you and go, hey, I need your pen, and take it. Okay. And I'm just kidding. Don't really take it. So so let's get into the first one today. And it's right there in your notes. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And this is no easy little subject to talk about. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 14. Okay. And we'll just kind of jump into this together. All right. Listen to the word of the Lord. When 1,000 years are over, let me stop there. What is 1,000 years in scriptures? It is known as starts with the M,
millennium.
Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. And can y'all just give praise there? Yes. Where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they would be tormented day and night forever and ever. So basically, when you come down to this great white throne judgment, you talk about the judgment of the dead. And this is a judgment only for lost people. When you are in Christ, when you're a Christian, when you're a Christ follower, you do not appear at this judgment. And everybody said,
amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We appear at the what? At the Bema Seat. B-E-M-A. We appear at the Bema Seat, and that's where we're validated. That's where we get rewards. That's where we get judged there as believers in Christ. And that's going to be in 2 Corinthians. I gave it to you last weekend. But listen to this here at the judgment of the dead. Only lost people stand there. Romans 2:15. Write it down. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. Their consciences are also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. So this is known as the book of conscience. And how many of you believe that everybody has a conscience? Everybody has a conscience. Romans talks about that we're without excuse. Timothy says that we can burn, we can sear our conscience because we reject God. We reject the Holy Spirit. How many believe that's true? I do. And I know some people, I feel like they've done that. They're so hard, callous to the things of God. So, and the Holy Spirit is drawing them, and they push it away. Look at the next one. Just write down the word, book of words, Matthew 12, 36 through 7, through 37. You probably read this and went, what? But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your word you will be acquitted, and by your word you will be condemned. Idle words will give account. How many shake and shudder at the thought of your words that you've spoken in your life, you give account?
Yeah.
You know what the good news is? In Christ, when we're covered in the blood of Christ, robed in the righteousness of Christ, Christ covers us. It doesn't mean we have a free pass. It doesn't mean we just speak everything we should. But thank God we don't have to stand on our words, that Christ atones for us. Is that good news, Sandy?
Yeah.
Has anybody said anything this week besides me you wish you hadn't said? And they go, no, wait a minute, raise your hand. How many have said something this week you know you wish hadn't have said? Okay, let's go down the aisle and say what. Charles, what did you, Debbie, what did you, no, I don't want to know. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But we do. I mean, how many of you said, have you ever said this? I know I shouldn't say this.
But.
Duh, that's the first sign. You shouldn't say it. The Holy Spirit's trying to help you out. And you go, but you know, I need to tell you this. No, you don't need to tell nobody that. All right. So that's one there. All right, the book of words. Listen to this. The book of secret works, Romans 2:16. This takes place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as the gospel declares. Do y'all believe that God knows every single everything, every iota, every thought we've ever had, ever will have, he does. So a lot of people are like, well, I'm doing this in secret. Well, you might do it in secret before man, but you're not doing it in secret before the Father. Somebody once said, everything in heaven is open scandal. They just know. Okay. How about the book of secret works? How about the uncovered book of public works, Matthew 16:27? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person to according to what he has done. Okay? And if we've done righteous things, you know, of course, at the Bema Seat, we're thrilled about that. How about the book of life? You ever read about the book of life? You want to be recorded in the Lamb's book of life. And the church said,
amen.
If you're not found in that book, I mean, that is the book you don't want to miss out on. Have you ever been somewhere and you go, I know I'm on that list. And they go, you're not on that list. Well, let me tell you, in this world, that could not be a good thing. But you don't want to miss out this book. I was praying early this morning for y'all and for our time. And I just reviewed the fact, and I want you to do this sometime. This is part of being redeemed. I just said, Jesus, thank you that I am redeemed, that I'm saved, and that Thomas Keith Waldrop is recorded in the book of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever just thanked Jesus? I don't know why, I just do my full name. I'm recorded in the Lamb's book. I've been bought, I've been sealed, I've been marked. I am redeemed. I am his. Is that good news, church? And that's what it means to be a Christian. You're like, man, okay, so I got that. But listen to Exodus 32:32-33. But now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. You don't want to be blotted out of the Lord's book. So going on in Revelations, he goes, I saw a great white throne, that's purity. And him, that's the person, the Lord Jesus, who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, which the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And the person was judged according to what they had done. That's called punishment. And the death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. Let me just get you right down this thought. There is no defense before God except the Lord Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other way to be declared not guilty. So we want to confess the name. We want to surrender. We want to yield. We want to walk with our blessed Savior every day. Because how would we expect to stand before a righteous, perfect, holy God if it was based on our works, our thoughts, our deeds, our actions, anything else, what we give, what we don't give, what we say, what we don't say? Are y'all so glad that God provided Jesus? Amen. I mean, that is the hope of the good news of grace. All right, so we keep going here. I go, Lord, you're so good, and you give us grace, and man, you cover us, there's no way to escape punishment without Christ. Course, okay, here it is. You always heard about the word Sheol, and you hear about Hades. Sheol is in the Hebrew, Hades is in the Greek, and basically it's where we go, where people go. No, not where we go. No, you don't want to go there. Yeah, it's where people go that don't have Christ before the judgment that we're talking about, and that's a place of torment, that's a place of agony, that's a place that we don't want anybody to go. I know one time somebody said, well, you know, all my friends are going to go to hell. I want to go there. It's going to be a fun place. It is not going to be. I know you like country music. I like some country music. Some country music is like, no. But all I'm telling you is, country music can almost sound like it's going to be a big party. Hell is not going to be a party, the church said.
Amen.
It's going to be a place of eternal torment, separation from the love of the Father forever and ever and ever. And see, the scripture doesn't teach that God will destroy us if we don't know Christ. He talks about torment. He talks about punishment for all time. And you're saying, Pastor, why do you talk about gloomy stuff? Because it's the truth of God's word, and we need to know about it. See, you can't appreciate heaven if you don't know about the reality of hell. And Jesus came so we get to escape hell. And you know, I'm so glad that we're in Christ and we find that he's our defense and we put our trust. So listen to Luke 16:27-28. He answered then, I beg you, Father, and Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let me go and warn them so they will not also come to this place of torment. Remember when he descended down to Hades, down to hell? And he says, man, well, look, if they didn't listen to the prophets, if they didn't listen to Jesus, why do you think they're going to listen to you now? and it'll be too late. And you're saying, oh, Pastor, well, I mean, that's just what God's word teaches us very clear, that we're all guilty, that we all fall short of the glory of God, but there's good news. Good news. In the church, the good news of Jesus, when we receive him. You know, it's never been about what we do or achieve. It's about what we receive. You know, you receive the gift of life. You receive the gift of salvation. It's nothing we do or earn. And now you're going, Pastor, that's so simplistic. But you have to keep running back to this, because a lot of times you get far out in Christ, 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, 50, 60 years. And if you're not careful, you almost feel like you've earned something that you're... Is anybody ever, if you're honest, you ever feel a little self-righteous sometimes? It's not very... Not very attractive, is it? People are really put off by it. But when you boast in the righteousness of Jesus and you're attracted and attached to him, that's sufficient, because he's a sufficient Savior. Okay, so Lord, that great white throne, the judgment's because, you know, the judgment comes because people have rejected Christ. So there's a penalty they can't pay, and the time for mercy has passed. I'm glad we live in an age of mercy. How about you?
Amen.
Did y'all ever ask for mercy in school? Hey, have mercy, because if I go home with this grade, I'm going to get a whipping or on restriction. Or did anybody do that? I'm going to raise my hand, because I did.
Mine didn't care. Yeah.
Yours didn't care? Well, I remember one time, I did real well in school, but I had this one subject. To this day, I almost want to cuss. I don't cuss, Nancy, but I want to on this. Geometry never made sense to me. And I didn't like it, and so I got in trouble with geometry, and I had all these great grades, but I took home this grade, and my dad did not think it was appropriate, and I tried to convince my dad how good I was and how well I'd done, and I showed him all my other grades, but he kept pointing at this one grade, and he was so impressed. He said, "I tell you what, son, you know, you've been wanting this car all this time, and you got it, but you didn't keep it very long." He says, "We're fixing to park it for 6 weeks." I said, Dad, the battery's going to go dead. He says, "Son, we don't need to worry about the battery. I'll ride around in it, okay? I like your car anyway." He says, "But I tell you what, if you decide you're going to bring home another one of those grades next 6 weeks, it goes on the market. Do you understand?" Yes, sir. I mean, man, that's all my dad. How many have a dad like that? I'm grateful for him. He got my attention. And I remember, I'd just been driving a few weeks, and then my car sitting in the driveway. Everybody said, "Hey, your car hadn't left." Shut up. I'm in trouble. I'm in restriction. My geometry teacher didn't have mercy on me. It wasn't my geometry teacher's fault. It was my fault. I wasn't applying myself. I can't believe I just confessed that. Oh, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, and some of y'all probably love geometry. I don't even like you anymore, okay? Yeah, whatever. Okay, all right. I'm just kidding. I love you. All right. Give me a verse. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed for men to die once, after that we do what? We face judgment. That's what the scripture says. So God, puts an end to that. You know, you're separated forever. You're like, oh my goodness, suffer for eternity. 2 Peter 3:7-10. By the same word that the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now, let's talk about something new. Something new and something good. On your outline here, Wait, man, they're working. How long has that been going on?
That's a God thing.
Hey, could you come back? Let's do the worship set again. We could do it with words this time. All right. Hey, can you put up the word punishment? Punishment handed out here, separated. Did you already do that? Has he already put that on the screen? I'm sorry, I'm just so mesmerized the screens are working. You people that are listening, we've had technical difficulties today. Okay, all right, so punishment. All right, so I'm off my notes here. All right. Look at this next one. The new heaven and the new earth. Now, that's Revelation 21:22. Read it, study it. I love this. And 2 Peter 3:13 says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, where righteousness dwells." Now, I love that. Let me tell you something about the new heaven and new earth. All diseases, all colds, all flu, all COVID, all cancer, all that stuff is gone and banished forever. I want to go there. Man, I'm looking forward to that day, you know? And I know you are as a follower of Christ. So Revelation 21:1, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Did you know, I think I read that like three-fourths of the globe is basically water. You know, so God's got vast bodies called oceans and lakes and ponds. But do you know we have no sea in heaven? And somebody go, then I don't want to go there. I just want water. There will be a mighty river, and it will flow where? From the throne of God. So there will be water. We just won't have these great seas. And along the river, the bank, the leaves, they're going to flourish. God's going to remake the earth. Sin stains are going to be gone. Have you ever had a stain in something? You just scrub it, and it's a good feeling, isn't it, when you get the stain out? But have you ever had something you couldn't get the stain out of it?
Yeah.
Well, think about sin. That you can't seem to get that sin residue, that sin stain off of it. Here with a new heaven and a new earth, all traces of sin are gone. All uncaring, harsh, judgmental words are gone. All condemnation is gone. It's a utopia on earth. We pray a prayer as Christians, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
That'll be the new heaven and the new earth. It's going to be perfect. Isn't that going to be a great place? Perfect harmony. Perfect peace. The way God's going to set it up eventually. Now there's going to be a lot that's going to happen before we get to the new heaven and the new earth. And but this, here it is. In the new heaven, our paradise was lost in the Garden of Eden. God reestablished it. He creates it. See, in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect until they messed it up. And then God restores and he replenishes. Not only he restores us as humans and humankind and everything's perfect, even creation is perfect. You know, creation's been through the fall too. The creation has a curse too. You know, have you ever read the scripture where it talks about even the animals, the lion and the sheep and all the animals will get along? You're like, no, that a child could lay down with a snake because there'll be no sin. There'll be no curse. How many are looking forward to no curse? No curse. I mean, I can't imagine because we live in a place full of curses. This eternal utopia, we long for the Garden of Eden. Isaiah 66:22, write it down. Isaiah 65:17. See, I will create the new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Wow, God, you can do that. 2 Peter 3:13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Hebrews 1:10-12. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, and you will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you will remain the same, and your years will never end. See, one day God will take the world, and he's going to fold it up. He's going to discard it, and he's going to change it. How many of you like it when you put on a new set of clothes? You know, you're all nasty and smelly, and your wife or your husband or your friend or somebody says, you stink. You need to go get a shower. When you get through taking a shower, do you go in there and put on the old musty clothes you just took off? I hope not. Sometimes y'all are burning. When we go to Mexico and build these houses, you know what I do? I leave all my clothes down there. Well, not all of them. I don't come back naked. I mean, I come back with some clothes. But I leave a lot of my clothes down there. The reason is they've got a laundry thing they send it to. And I try to take some good stuff too, like some jeans and stuff. And they'll give them to people in the community that don't have a chance to go to the store like you and I do. And they love that. We take them shoes and, you know, pretty. I mean, I don't want to take a bunch of ratty stuff. I mean, some of us are like, man, just go ahead and burn that. That was pretty ugly, you know. Yeah, I see Susan when we get through painting houses. Man, she got paint all over her face and her hair and her shirt. Nobody wants Susan's paint shirt. They just want a pretty dress you wore, okay? I know, they might wear, I don't know. All right, so, hey, look at this. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth passed away, but there was no longer any sea. So God purifies the new heaven and new earth after it undergoes this process. And God's people, he always protects, but he protects us in the new Jerusalem. See, all prior to all this new there, you've got the Battle of Armageddon, you've got, you know, the second coming, you've got the whole judgment time, you've got the tribulation, you've got 7 years of tribulation. I mean, it's going to be rough, folks. I did not want to go through tribulation. Do you?
No.
I want to be on the way to heaven when Jesus, when he appears in the cloud and he raptures us and those that are dead come with him and we go to be with the Father. Amen. And then we get to come back for a millennium reign of 1,000 years with Christ and co-heir or be co-reigners with him. And that's going to be an incredible thing I could talk about for days. And it's that, God, you got all this figured out. And we're just trying to be obedient. We want to follow you. But you're going to refresh the earth. You know, Henry Morris, you ever heard of Henry Morris? Write his name down. Henry Morris, he wrote a book years ago called The Genesis Record. He was a great creationist. I don't know if he's still, is he still living today? Do you know? It's not like Dan's buddies with me. They're like, Dan's like, I don't know. All right. Anyway, he says, there's no need for the sea, but the present sea needed on the earth, there's no need because the water flows down with tributaries from the throne of heaven. But he talks about it will be fresh water. There will be no salt water at that time. There's no need to preserve anything because everything's going to be pure and perfect. And the fruit and everything's going to be just awesome. I mean, I know you've been there. How many of you been to Israel? Anybody been to Israel? Susan has, I have. Okay, you go to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is full of salt. And there's like no animal life there. And it is so salty. I'll just say this. When you go to the Dead Sea, and we took us on a tour, they let us go out in it. The salt gets in every crevice in your body. Now hang with me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not pleasing. You want to get out as quick as you got in. Or maybe you can handle it. And you get out there. And you can get in water about this deep, Jill. And you can lay on your back and float. You're so buoyant because the salt is so great. Then there was this place right next to us when we got through, and they said, we'll go here and have lunch at the hotel, and if you want to swim in some pure water, yeah. And they said, but hit the shower before you get in. So I hit the shower, and I went, and man, I dove in. And I just, to be a smart elk, I just wanted to see what it's like. I laid over my back. Because so many people go from that to that, the pool was almost as buoyant as the Dead Sea. Kind of nasty when you think about it. But we're not going to have that. But you know, I read the other day that some people used to go for treatments. They'd go all the way to Israel to jump in the Dead Sea to cure skin diseases and heal it up. I mean, it's that salty. You don't. I know. You're looking at it like, no, you do not open your eyes when you go in the Dead Sea, okay? You just, it's really gross when you think. And you look out there, and there's all these, like, salt blocks. But, you know, one day, there's no need for salt, preservatives. There's no need for the light we have because there's going to be one light. It's going to be who? Jesus. And he's going to shine so bright. And I guess we're going to reflect his glory, and we're going to shine. And you're just like, oh my goodness, the streets of gold. No, anyway, this is not a message about heaven, but I want you to go there. Okay, so I can just keep going here. Oh, Genesis 3:17-19. Just write it down here. To Adam he says, because you listened to your wife, and you ate fruit from the tree. This is what the scripture says. In which I commanded you, you must not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Though painful toil, you eat food from it all the days of your life. It produces thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat all the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Curse and of death and decay. But one day, the curse will be reversed. Man, hallelujah. I long that day. And that's for the hope of the child of God. That our day gets reversed. Everything gets made right. Hey, have you ever felt like, I just want some vengeance. I just want, no, 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 no. I said no. Okay. You know what the scripture says? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do you ever feel like some people got the best of you? Sure. Do you feel like our government sometimes gets the best of you? Yes. Everybody will answer for what they've done. God will settle it all. I just go, God, you're greater. You're the great judge. I don't want to be the judge. Aren't you glad you aren't the judge? Man, I'm glad I'm not the judge. I don't need to be the judge. King Jesus is the judge. So he reverses the curse. And paradise gets regained. Listen to Ephesians 1:10. This is the restoration of all things. to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under King Jesus, under Christ. So, you want to live in the New Jerusalem? What do you do? What do you do if you want to live in the New Jerusalem? You receive Christ. You receive Jesus. You walk with Him. You get rooted. You become a disciple of the Most High God. You follow Christ with all your heart. And you go, Jesus, You are Lord. You are Savior. You are Master. I yield to You. I want to follow You. I want to be found in You, Jesus. That's what you do. And you go, God, that's right. That was a good one. Okay. All right. So Revelation 21:4. Here's a hope. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That's for this life as we live as Christ followers. But when you think about the new heaven and the new earth, God reverses all things. Everything is made right in His time, in His way. It's perfect. So I just go, God, you're so good. Now, I'm going to flip gears on you here. All right, so we got, did you put up the, look at that. You're so good. I didn't even tell you. Reversal of the curse. I'm so glad it's working. Now, look at this next section. And, man, I could spend hours on it. But Ezekiel, I want you just to do some study in Ezekiel. I want you to start reading it. I know you say, Pastor, I read it every night before I go to bed. You just lied. You do not. But Ezekiel, you know, you talk about, you know, dry bones, and that's a great passage, and not a stony heart and a new heart. And I think about those great passages. But I'm gonna try to give you this outline. Here you go. Number one, God denounces. Fill this in. It's up there, Zach. It's gonna come. God does what? He denounces the nations that overtake the land of Israel. The rebuke of nations who have come. God denounces the nations who've come to take over. The scripture teaches that God is a jealous God, that He's going to be fiery, that He is going to, that God, we know from history that God brought the Jewish race out of nothing, that Abram was a genesis of people that didn't exist, and God appears, and people have abused Israel, they've gone against Israel. Now, Israel didn't get a free pass either, guys. I mean, they've rejected the Messiah, so there's going to be a judgment for that too. But God loves Israel. You know why God loves Israel so much? Because He has blessed them for what? For a purpose. Write down this thought today. God has blessed you and me for one big reason. You know what it is? To be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to the nations. And we need to get that right. We're not blessed so we can just be blessed for blessed sake. But we want to bless the heart of God. We want to bless His kingdom. So, just to go into a little Jewish history, you know, God makes this covenant with Abram. It's like some 300,000 square miles of property. And you go through all these treaties over the year and declarations and defeat and wars and Israel getting kicked out. And they don't even have a plan or a nation. They don't even have a language. And in 1948, they get declared a nation, and they finally get a land, and which is a pretty cool, awesome deal. And now, Israel is made up of about 8,100 miles, is it. And it's about the size of New Jersey. I want you to look at your map sometime and look at New Jersey. Is New Jersey very big?
Yeah.
But yet, Jerusalem, Israel is the epicenter of the universe, folks. That's why when you see in the news things happening to Israel, take alert, pray. No, God is not standing by just, I mean, you know, He's in charge, but it's a serious thing. And you think about all these, all right, let's keep going. I'm going to get too deep with you, but I'm going to come back. Number two, God defends Israel for His own name's sake. So He gathers exiles, He brings them, they're in the land, they're out of the land. He says, I'll cleanse you, I'll give you a new heart. I want y'all to exchange worship of idols for the one true God, which many of them wouldn't listen. And today, not a lot different in so many ways. But God always has a heart for mankind. He always wants people to come to a place of repentance. He always wants people to come to Him. It's His will that none should perish, that all should come to faith in Jesus Christ. How many are grateful for that? And we need to pray hard and fervently for our lost friends. Just this morning, I've done this for, I've been a believer 46 years. I was praying for my brother and my stepsister this morning. They're Baha'is. It's an Eastern Day cult. They believe in the modern day prophet, Baha. And it's a sick religious what it is. It's a cult. And I pray all the time that he would come to a place of brokenness and repentance, and that he would place his faith in the Messiah, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a good man. He's a moral man. He's an ethical man. He's a love man. He's my stepbrother. But he is far from the cross of Christ. And I promised his mom, my stepmom, on her deathbed that I would pray for him all the time. And so I long for him to meet Jesus, because he's been very defiant against the Messiah. Do you know people like that? You know. And then other people are like, well, you know, I'm good. I'm going to make it to heaven because God's going to weigh my good, and I've got more good than bad. Who came up with that theology? Why did Christ shed his blood at the cross of Calvary if we could have just earned it on our own? Hello? And so we fall short, and I'm just so sad that so many have believed that. So move on to this one. God declares himself to all the nations to the reestablishment of Israel. One time in 1867, when so-and-so was a little girl, Mark Twain visited Israel, and he said it was a very desolate country given over to weeds, and it was a wasteland. But in 1948, I told you, it became a nation. And something else happened. It turned over and it became a very fruitful land. It became very prosperous. Are you surprised? It's God's favorite land, right? And listen to this. And I read this. They have become the number one exporter of fruit to Europe. Israel is. They have luscious fruit. I mean, it's off the chart. Buds, blossoms. They have 1.3 billion agricultural products. They mastered this drip irrigation. I mean, how many think the Jews are smart? They're off the chart brilliant. God made them that way. I'm going to blow your mind in a minute. So there was an emergence out of this wasteland that God prospered, because he told in Scripture that he would prosper Israel. They had been oppressed. They had been beaten. They had been scattered. And God regathered them. And at night, listen to this. And you might want to write this down. I found that fascinating. From 1901 to 2018, there were 900 Nobel Prizes in all fields. 203 of the 900, now listen, 203 of the 900 Nobel Prizes were given to Jews. The Jewish population there only makes up 0.19%, not even 1% of the world's population. But yet the Muslims make up 23% of the population of planet Earth. And guess how many Nobel Prizes they've been awarded? 12. Interesting, huh? Do you think there's something about recognizing the hand of God Almighty? And God blesses? You're like, wow. I just found that so fascinating as I was studying this. Fourth, God demonstrates his power and faithfulness through the reestablishment of Israel. And I talked about how he regathered the people. He formed a nation as a pilgrim back to their homeland. And so it's awesome. But there was this guy in the 1900s. He was concerned because they lost their ability. They didn't have a common language anymore. So this guy named Eleazar ben Yehuda, he began to speak Hebrew in his home, and his neighbors caught on, and they began to speak Hebrew so they could get a common language. And there was like this rebirth. It was also a fulfillment, imagine that, of Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Write it down, Zephaniah 3, 9. I know you read that in your morning devotion, right? Then I will purify the lips of the people, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. So I just love this. I mean, the world was out to exterminate the Jews, to destroy Israel. Have things changed in 2024? People are still trying to destroy Israel. I mean, the Gaza Strip, look at it. You think it's getting blown up? You think Israel, you think people are bombing Jerusalem like every day? Hey, we're getting up a trip next month. How many want to go to Israel with me? I'm not going to Israel next month. I don't even think you can travel there yet. I love that. I had two of y'all just went. I'm going with you, Pastor. Okay. All right. I do want to take y'all to Israel sometime. I just right now, I noticed you didn't raise your hand, Lamore. You don't want to. Oh, you want to go? Okay. Well, maybe we should get a trip up. I don't know who our travel agent would be. No, they would. We would not be able to travel. You know, it's funny. I take people all over the world. People go, Pastor, have you seen the alert there? I don't know. I just see me and say, hey, I'm taking a group of y'all to Israel in the morning. Tel Aviv. We're going to show up right in the middle of it. Yeah, I don't think we get into it this week. Maybe next week. Okay. But here's what I know. When Israel comes back, man, when they started coming back as a nation, people started attacking them. I found this out. They only had 9 obsolete planes and 19,000 soldiers as they first regathered as a nation. It was against all odds. But guess what, folks? They've continued to prosper and strengthen and grow and develop. And what do you trace that to? God. Do you think in the end God's going to defend Israel? Do you think America should step in and defend Israel all we can? Do you think we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem? The scripture is very clear. It's our role as Christ followers. So God, you just look at that and go, wow, God, this is so powerful. This is so good. So you declare, you demonstrate your power. You know, isn't that really the story of God, that he's always demonstrating his power and his faithfulness? Because you know one of the names of God is faithful. He's a faithful God. He's been faithful for all the ages. He'll be faithful for all eternity. Put your trust in God, but not in man. You know, a verse that I've quoted to you many times, especially with our economy being so volatile. I read this verse, I don't know, 40-something years ago, and I just said, God, that's my verse. Some trust in horses and chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. And right now, folks, that is a great verse with the economy, with the war, with the chaos, with the craziness of our country, of the world, that you trust in Jesus. Because he'll see us through. He'll not forsake us. Didn't that give you hope this morning? Hey, if you don't have the hope of Christ, what do you have? A false hope, a shallow hope, an inferior hope, a limited hope. You grow hopeless. So, all right, let's keep going. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I want to go for another. All right, let's keep going. All right, here we go. So, let me ask you this. The Battle of Armageddon. Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right, let me just give you this quick. Who's going to experience Armageddon? Who's going to experience Armageddon? Wait, what'd you say? Okay, he will. Who's going to experience Armageddon? Those on the earth that are left, you know, that don't get raptured out, that don't die, you know, and we go through this period. And do you think some will come to Christ during the tribulation? It'll be a hard time. And then you look at this Armageddon thing. But those that have spurned the blood of Jesus or the witness of the prophets, you know, you read about the two prophets in Revelation. You read about the witness of the 144,000 will be great proclaimers of the gospel, but spurned, as I've studied it, kept using that word spurned. I go, how many of y'all use the word spurned? I don't use the word spurned. Let me give you a word. I thought this will help you. Refuse, decline, reject, brush off, stiff arm. Those that stiff arm Christ that are still alive will have an opportunity to go through this, and there'll be this great battle. And if you just look down at right down Ezekiel 38, 1 through 2. And he talks about Gog and Magog. And Gog is a title. It's like a czar. It's like a prince. It's a person. And it's over a region called Magog, okay? And in this, when you start hearing about Gog and Magog, I've been studying this for years, and I've really been studying it hard in the last few weeks. It's always a great reference to what superpower? Russia. Do we think Russia needs Christ? Absolutely. The whole planet needs Christ. Do we think Russia is filled with a lot of evil? Yeah, all you got to do is just watch TV, read the paper, read your media. And yet, when you go through this, I want to get here quickly. You know, you see Russia, you see Iran. You think Iran's an outstanding, noble nation? You know, we partnered with them at one time, and then we've had all kind of conflict. And Iran is not a healthy player in this alliance. There's going to be this great alliance through Armageddon of these superpowers. And in different translations, you'll see the word Kush, Sudan, Libya, Gomer. It talks about Germany, Europe, Turkey, Georgia. It's going to be a tough time. And there's going to be a great alliance of nations through Armageddon. And the great news is, guess who wins in Armageddon? Jesus does. Can anybody defeat King Jesus?
No.
He is greater than all powers. So this defense for his glory, it culminates in the Battle of Armageddon. And let me see if I can. And so I was just going through Ezekiel reading this morning, and it started talking about magnifying the name of our God, and that God will defend his name, and he'll take care of his own reputation if we would turn to him and being ready. And he talks about the kingdom age. And I got to find this one thing that I'm looking for you, because I found it so fascinating about alliances that are coming today. How many believe alliances are being formed right now as we're in here of nations that are not for the things of God? They're Islamic, Muslim, they're, all these other things. Listen to this. As Islamic nations threaten to annihilate Israel, it's calling many to turn their renewed interest to Ezekiel 38. I just want you to begin to read Ezekiel 38. Begin to study Ezekiel 38. Try to listen all you can. It says this: Behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh and Meshach and Tubal and Persia and Ethiopia and Libya and Gomer and all its troops. And from the far north, in the latter years, you will come to the land of those that have brought back from the sword and gathered many people, and they brought out the nations. It goes along with Luke, write it down, Luke 21:24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. See, prophecy is concrete evidence that Scripture is inspired by the Creator, and that only, who do you think knows the future? God. Do we know the future? We don't, but we can know from Scripture. So Magog here is Russia, and then you've got Turkey. You've got, write these countries down, or nations. Russia, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Gomer, Russia, Turkey, Egypt, Iran, Libya. Here's the six. Let me give you the six big players, I think, from my study. Russia, Turkey, Egypt, Iran, Libya, and Sudan will come against the prince, the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess who wins? Jesus defeats all his foes. He always has. He always will. And there's great hope for the believer in Christ. And I want you to be confident. Luke 21:28. Let me give you some great news. Write this down. Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. That's right. I love that way she said that. All right. I could keep going. We'll, next week, we'll continue this study. I didn't get to the temples. We'll talk about the temples next week. There's some discussion on that. I'm going to talk about four temples next week. And the first temple, who built the first one? King David didn't build the temple, did he, Wynette? Mary? King David didn't build the temple. Who built the first temple?
Solomon.
David just financed it. But he didn't get to go in because of shedding blood. But I got to tell you, it's fascinating when you study Jewish history. And it's always pointing to God. We're always looking to God. And Linda, I think about you when you get us to sing. What's that called? What's that called? Trusting God? I trust? That's not it. Anyway, maybe we don't sing it. Maybe I hear it on the radio. Anyway. Do y'all hear a song, Trust in God? Mary, come on, you know all the songs. No, there's not a song called Trust in God? No, it's not an old one. This is that's a sweet one, though. But this is a real contemporary one. I love it. Jim's like, tis so sweet. We probably should say that this morning. Because we all would have known. How many would have known, tis so sweet to trust in Jesus?
Amen.
See, you know that next time a go-to song, you know, we'll just sing it. All right, here's what we're going to do. Oh, my goodness. I got to get on the road. I got to go to a pastor's retreat. And I'm late. No, oh, yeah. All right, here we go. We're going to do one great song. Yes, Miss Mary.
Elevation worship. I trust in God.
Thank you. See, she's helping her pastor out. I love that woman. Thank you, Mary. That's it. I trust in God. Well, you're supposed to know that. Come on. All right. I'm looking like a dummy. I don't know. All right. Here it is. This is a great song. Oh, we got lyrics now. It's even going to be better. Hey, let's sing this great song with Cain. Revival. I think it's called Revival. If not, it should be. Okay. Here you go. Let's sing this song together.